Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. We get together on the internet to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke. Good morning, it's Sunday. The 17th of June 2007, and it's let's see, 0558 hours GMT, and this is Solder Smoke 63 from London, not for too much longer, but for the moment from London. I want to start this week with a continuation of the kind of soul in the machine theme that we had last week. I mentioned that a wonderful book by Tracy Kidder called The Soul of a New Machine. Hey, joined here by our partner in Solder Smoke, Billy. He's going to be with me here this morning. Anyway, I was telling you that last week I mentioned Tracy Kidder's book, Soul of a New Machine, and this week I came across a quote or a few lines that kind of related to that. It's from an article written by a fellow radio amateur named Matthew B. Crawford. I don't have his call handy, but he's I think he's an active home brewer and QRP'er. And a while back he wrote an article called Shop Class as Soul Craft. And it was really, I thought, a very interesting and thoughtful article about making things and building things with your hands and the kind of benefits, the spiritual benefits of doing that kind of work. And I guess my look at Tracy Kidder's book caused me to go back and take another look at his article. And I just wanted to open this morning with a few lines from that article, give you the flavor of it. I've put a link to it on the gadgeteer.news website for those who want to take a look at the complete article. At one point, Matthew says in the article, "Following graduate school in Chicago, I took a job in a Washington, D.C. think tank. I hated it, so I left and opened a motorcycle repair shop in Richmond. When I would come home from work, my wife would sniff at me and say, 'Carbs,' or 'brakes,' corresponding to the various solvents used. Socially, being the proprietor of a bike shop in a small city gave me a feeling I never had before or since. I felt I had a place in society, whereas think tank is an answer that, at best, buys you a few seconds when someone asks you what you do, while you try to figure out what it is that you in fact do. With motorcycle mechanic, I got immediate recognition. I bartered services with machinists and metal fabricators, which has a very different feel than transactions with money, and further increased my sense of social embeddedness. There were three restaurants with cooks whose bikes I had restored, where unless I deceived myself, I was treated as a sage benefactor. I felt pride before my wife when we would go out to dinner and be given preferential treatment or simply a hearty greeting. There were group rides and bike night every Tuesday at a certain bar. Sometimes one or two people would be wearing my shop's t-shirt. It felt good." Well, I imagine it did Matthew, and I thought, and thanks for sharing that with us. And I think it the article and these quotes kind of get to the kind of intrinsic benefits of making stuff, of melting solder, of making radios, of building things. So that's our inspirational opening for the week. Hey, speaking of motorcycles, nothing against them, but I watch the Discovery Channel from time to time. We don't watch a whole lot of TV here, but the kids and I like some of the Discovery Channel shows. We've become fans of MythBusters and some of the other shows there, and of what was it, Orange County Choppers?
Yeah.
OCC. Yeah, American Chopper. Yeah. We kind of like that one because Orange County is just north of Rockland County, New York, where I grew up most of the time growing up. And, all right, it's fun to watch these guys building motorcycles, but there's so many of these now motorcycle building shows, bike build-off, you know, motorcycle building, custom building. It's interesting, and it's fun to watch, but I'm thinking, why only motorcycles? Why not HF transceivers? Why not Billy Laughs? Why not ham radios or antennas or something like that? There's got to be room for this. And of course there is, and of course there are pioneers out there working on this problem. And of course I refer to our, I guess we could call it our brother station, Amateur Logic TV. Jimmy, Tommy, and George have put out another episode, Amateur Logic, episode number 13, the Dayton edition. Really good stuff. I really enjoyed it, and I recommend it to all of you. There's a link to Amateur Logic TV on the Gadgeteer.news website. I came across episode 13 while looking around YouTube, and it just kind of popped out there, and wow, I didn't realize they had a new edition out. They need to do some more advertising. They need to put a message out on QRPL or elsewhere to let people know that they've churned out another one. Of course, turning out a video product is a lot more difficult, time-consuming than this kind of audio work that we do here at Solder Smoke. So I think we should all be especially grateful that they take the time to do it. I watched episode 13, and a few things caught my eye. At Dayton, they interviewed a young radio amateur who built a hydrogen-powered car, and I thought that was really interesting. Then they, as they went around the hamvention, their cameras took us inside the new K3 Bielecraft. You know, a couple weeks ago we had an interview with our correspondent there at Dayton, and it was really nice to hear from the Bielecraft, from Eric of Bielecraft, and hear about the rig. But through the magic of video, Jimmy, Tommy, and George have took their cameras inside the K3, and I thought it was really interesting. Another thing I liked about episode 13 was their interview with kind of the hacker community there, their connections with the computer hacker community. And they had a nice interview with one of the guys from the 2600 group. These, I guess, are kind of good guy hackers, not bad guy hackers in that sense of the word. Hackers in the kind of Stephen Levy book sense. The guys who are interested in the technology and trying to put it to different uses, not the folks out there producing viruses or trying to break into the Pentagon's computers or things like that. Anyway, they had a good interview with the 2600 group guys, and they have a segment where they had a piece of video from a guy who puts out it's a podcast or a video cast, and he goes by BSOD, and I think that means various different things, but it also means blue screen of death, which is what you get when your computer's about ready to go toes up. I watched that segment. He talked about how to use a crimper to put a connector on coax cable for Wi-Fi applications. It was very interesting. And then there was a they had a link to a podcast, kind of a hacker podcast by the 2600 group called Off the Hook, which is a weekly show on WBAI in New York. I listened to it, and I watched a little bit more of BSOD's programs. They're all technically interesting, but you know what? I think they kind of they're different. They lack something that we have in the more in the ham radio community and in the ham radio shows. There's in the hacker computer world, you know, I detect a kind of harshness that we don't have in the strictly ham radio community. If you know what I mean, if you listen to the programming and you listen to the if you watch some of the videos that come out of that part of the electronic homebrew world, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just not the kind of friendliness and fraternity that exists in the ham radio world. So it just reminded me that we've got some important characteristics and elements that we want to encourage, while at the same time, of course, inviting people from those other groups to kind of join in here. So anyway, thanks to Amateur Logic for bringing those bits of Dayton there to us. There was some other interesting stuff that I saw. They had an interview with one of the HF pack enthusiasts. These are the kind of backpack mobile radio operators. And man, this guy had a rig strapped onto him that was frankly a bit frightening. He seemed to realize it too. I mean, so it's not like the operator was not aware of the, I guess we could say, eccentricity of his radio apparatus. But man, he had a 35 watt amplifier hanging kind of off of the front of his backpack rack, and it seemed to be hanging there in a very kind of dangerous position for a 35 watt RF amplifier, if you know what I'm saying. I think Jimmy and George and Tommy commented on this. And anyway, well, take a look. And it was certainly an interesting operation. I like the way he had the antenna mounted on the on the backpack rack. And they had a segment there, another segment on the show on Amateur Logic 13 that I thought was really good. It was a they have their own kind of down under ham radio correspondent in Australia. He did a great job, and he took them on a tour of an Australian ham fest. And of course, it was remarkably similar to the ham fests in the U.S. and to the rallies that we Billy and I go to here in the U.K. And I guess this is just further confirmation that in the ham radio world, some things are just universal, and they're pretty much the same, no matter where you go. Hams are hams, and it's kind of a international, kind of cross-cultural thing. I've been in ham radio clubs in four or five different countries, and the thing that strikes me is that no matter the clubhouses, the club rooms are almost always the same. There's the same collection of old magazines with various kinds of mold growing on them. There's the old equipment that guys have brought in that need to be repaired. The amplifier with the burned out transformer, or the burned out RF choke, the piles of parts, several generations of cigarette butts. You find the same kind of setting I found in radio clubs just about everywhere. So yeah, it seems to be part of the hobby. All right, so thanks again to the Amateur Logic guys for a fine business, episode 13. Hey, I guess I should update you on what's happening on my workbench. I've been telling you about the power supply that that we've been building. And last week I thought I had it all together. I had it. I'd come up with my what I thought was ingenious way of Manhattan mounting the L200 chip onto the PC board, and at the same time having it thermally connected to the case for heatsink purposes. And I wired it all up and I turned it on, and of course it didn't work. Not at all. Nothing was happening there. It wasn't outputting, it wasn't regulating, it wasn't it wasn't current limiting. So it was not a happy day in homebrew land. But hey, we've all been there before, so I didn't get all frustrated and discouraged. I put it away for a few days, and then I took a fresh look at it and realized that via my very ingenious Manhattan-style mounting of the chip of the IC, the L200, I had really goofed up in a very goofy way and had, you know, kind of mislabeled the pin numbers on the Manhattan style connector that I had worked up. And so I was doing all the wiring to pin 2 that should have gone to pin 1, and to pin 4 that should have gone to pin 5. And as you might imagine, the chip doesn't work very well if you do that. So anyway, went in back in there with a soldering iron and put the wires that went to pin 1 to where pin 1 actually was, and pin 5 where pin 5 was actually, and so on. And lo and behold, the circuit presented by Tony Fishpool in his book on QRP test gear worked exactly as advertised. So we pretty much got that done. And now it's just a matter of putting some of the connectors on and fine-tuning it a bit. But now we will have a current limited power supply that hopefully will prevent the release of smoke from components while we're homebrewing. And where are we going, Billy?
Rome.
In Rome, yeah. All right. So that's the news from the M0HBR test bench. Hey, wanted to alert you guys to two good causes related to what we do here, to this the homebrew solder smoke I guess we could call it madness. One of my favorite magazines is Air and Space by the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. We're going to be back there within range of that place, and I think we should go visit it, don't you think? Yeah. Anyway, this in the what episode is this here? In the June-July issue, they've got a really interesting article about the SETI Institute. This is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and a new radio telescope array called the Allen Telescope Array that they're building in Northern California. I suspect that there may be some NorCal guys involved in this, but they're building a really interesting array. It's a lot of it, most of it, I think, is funded by Paul Allen of Microsoft fame. And they're working on putting together an array of relatively small radio telescopes and using it to extend the range of the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And I found the article interesting because, well, you know, all articles about antennas are just interesting to us. And then extraterrestrial intelligence thing, well, I guess that's the ultimate DX. And well, they're trying to pick out some really low power signals, so that makes it QRP. And well, it's just interesting stuff. And I recommend the article to you. I'm gonna put a link to the SETI Institute and the Allen Telescope Array up on the Gadgeteer.news website, so you can check that out, and also a link there to make a contribution. They're building, I think there's something like 42 different antennas that they're going to have, and they're going to use, of course, digital signal processing to combine the inputs from the various antennas and to null out noise. And it all reminds me a lot of the stuff that we do as radio amateurs, except they're doing it on a galactic, not quite intergalactic, but galactic scale. And I thought you guys would be interested in that. And it would be really nice if we could somehow contribute to the construction of at least one of these antennas. So I got a link up there for those of you who are interested in contributing. On the same kind of fundraising note, there's another group out there. You've heard of the Marine Corps. You've heard of the Peace Corps. Well, now there's the Geek Corps. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of this. We may have mentioned it here on Solder Smoke before. I think we put up one of their videos on the video page. But the Geek Corps is a group of technically savvy volunteers. I think some of them are affiliated with the Peace Corps. I think they work with U.S. Agency for International Development. They're particularly active in Mali, in West Africa. And what they're trying to do is to bring technical solutions to people who are struggling in poor countries, and try to use simple solutions to help them improve their lives. And they've done a lot of really interesting work in building simple Wi-Fi systems and setting up antennas and coming up with computers that'll work in really dusty and remote areas. And I've got a link to their page on the website. And, I think you guys will find it interesting. And wow, it must be very rewarding work to go out there and use technical skills to help people who really need it. I started looking for this because I had heard something about a new long-range Wi-Fi distance record set by some technical guys in Venezuela, and that led me to some links about the Geek Corps. So check out the Geek Corps there, and if you have any ideas on how to help them out, I think there's ways to contact them there on the website. All right, now it's time. It's the time for that. You know what it's time for. We gotta be careful. Wait, hold on. All right, those of you who need hearing protection. All right, you've been warned. All right, but we're gonna. All right, I don't think we overmodulated that one. Time for God of Solder Smoke mailbag. Not a whole lot of mail this week. I think the summertime season is kicking in. People are out at the pool or at the park, and we got some email. I actually got several about the passing of Mr. Wizard. Mr. Wizard was a little bit, I think, before my time. It was mostly a 1950s and 60s thing. So I don't really have any memories of Mr. Wizard, but he was obviously well liked in the Solder Smoke community. A number of guys wrote in saying that he helped them deal with the consequences and the symptoms of the knack that, of course, we all have. So anyway, sorry to note that Mr. Wizard has become a silent key. And he obviously leaves behind a lot of friends and fans, and he helped a lot of people, like I say, deal with the knack. got another email from from a listener, Steve G0KYA, and Steve provides us with this week's band sweep segment. He says here, "Hi, Bill. Thought you might find the attached band scans might like the attached band sweep segment. It's a 5-minute piece distilled from 2 hours on 40 meters from 1910 to 2110 UTC on 11 June 2007. The receiver was a Rockmite, which is of course stuck on 7030 kilohertz. I find it a really good little receiver and have worked around Europe with it on just under 1 watt. The single frequency can be an advantage as it concentrates your listening. There's a little BC breakthrough towards the end, but it's not too bad. See how many call signs the listeners can pick out. From memory, there's England, Scotland, France, Germany, and Italy, perhaps more. Regards, Steve, G0KYA. All right, Steve, thanks very much. Thanks for sending that in. We'll pause right now and go to 7030 kilohertz with a Rockmite. Steve, thanks very much for that. That's really really great, very interesting. Always good to get a little CW on the show. Well, guys, that's the end of another edition of Solder Smoke. It's the end to our London operations is rapidly approaching, and I'm sorry to say that yesterday the antennas came down. So that antenna that you saw on the Google Earth photograph is now disassembled and ready for shipment. I believe it's going to be shipped into storage. I think we're going to go with wire antennas in Rome. I've got some ideas for some wire antennas that might work out and might prevent me from being arrested by the Italian authorities or strung up by my Roman neighbors. I think we're going to go low profile in Rome. But anyway, the London antennas are down, so M0HBR is off the air. The equipment's still here, but well, it'll be in boxes soon. So anyway, like I said, we'll probably have a few more, maybe two more episodes here from London. Then there's probably going to be a pause, and we'll come back on the fiber optic cable. Probably in early September. Thanks very much for this for listening to this edition of Solder Smoke. Keep the email coming in. Thanks for your support. Have a great week, and 7-3 is the big group from London.